Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Was looking at some verses in the Bible that deal with borrowing money, and in so doing got to thinking about the condition of our country. Our country is now $18 trillion in debt, and some may want to make that a political problem and say, well, this president did it or that president did it, and then try to approach the problem politically. But I think what we should do today is go to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about debt, about borrowing. And then as we see what the Bible has to say about borrowing, see if it paints a picture about why we are in the situation we're in. Is it really a political problem? Or is it something else? Let's go to three passages of Scripture today, just three. And in these three passages of Scripture, we are going to see what the Bible says about borrowing money. And then we will make application from the Bible doctrine to our country and see if we can learn something. Now, the three passages are these. Turn, first of all, to Deuteronomy chapter 15 and read with me in verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 15, and let's read verse 6. Now, of course, this is written to Israel, but the Lord says in Deuteronomy 15, 6, "For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee." Now, in this passage, the context begins in verse 5, and verse 5 lays down the condition for verse 6. "Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day." And then he says, "For the Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee." Now that's specifically addressed to Israel, but it establishes a biblical doctrine that God's blessing upon a country puts them in an economic situation where they're a lending nation, not a borrowing nation. Okay? Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And we'll look at verse 7, one that you know well. You know this verse already, at least a portion of it. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." The borrower is servant to the lender. So, when an individual borrows, he has to fulfill certain covenants and agreements that he makes with the lender. Likewise, when a nation borrows, he must fulfill certain terms and conditions with the lending nation. And then Psalm 37, and look at verse 21. Psalm 37, and look at verse 21. Right, in this particular psalm, we see a very direct, very powerful, very unmistakable comment on the morality of particular borrowers. And that verse of Scripture, Psalm 37, verse 21, says, "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth." The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. The borrower is servant to the lender, Thou shalt lend, yet thou shalt not borrow. Now, what do we make of these? What moral statement, what supernatural statement, what biblical statement can be made regarding these three passages of Scripture that we've looked at today? And what we're going to do is we're simply going to study these out and make comment about them based on how they appear in their context and based upon what we already know about nations and nations that borrow money. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 15 first. And in verse 5, if thou carefully hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day, the Lord says in verse 4, there won't be any more poor among you. And he says, you'll lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. When a country goes as deeply into debt as our country has gone, what does that say about our country? It spells trouble. Our national debt reveals that we are in trouble based upon these verses in three major areas. When I'm dealing with people about problem areas in their lives, and we're trying to get a solution, I always recommend that we not work on symptoms and not work on details before we work on the root. A good friend of mine one time was preaching, and when he was preaching, this is what he said: we need to get down to the root of the problem. We need to quit looking at the fruit of the problem. Okay? So he said it's not the fruit, it's the root. That's what we need to concern ourselves with. I think these three areas are root problems in our country. I believe that our national debt is evidence of some problems. Okay? We are in trouble. The first area where we're in trouble is that we are in trouble supernaturally. Supernaturally. God said here, for the Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. God made this promise to Israel conditioned upon their observation to do all his commandments. In addition to promising that they would lend and not borrow, he said, you will reign, okay, and they won't reign over you. So God's blessing upon Israel was demonstrated by making them a creditor nation and a ruling nation, not a debtor nation and a subservient nation, like they were under the reign of David, like they will be under the reign of Jesus Christ when he returns. So the fact that we have become a debtor nation is evidence to me, based upon Deuteronomy 15:6, that God's blessing is no longer on this nation, at least not to the degree that it was in decades gone by. Look with me at a companion passage in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 12. Again, he says to Israel, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, he says that in Deuteronomy 28:2. Then he says, here are the blessings you can expect. And in verse 12, he says, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Now, again, we have to understand that's doctrinally applied to Israel, so doctrinally we can't really apply the verse to the United States of America, but spiritually speaking, we can make an application. When this country was more of a God-fearing country, the evidence of God's hand upon this country supernaturally was more evident. It is in the history of our country that we see the hand of God profoundly. In the great awakenings and revivals that took place in this country, we see the hand of God very evidently. In some of the great revivals, even in the last century, when literally thousands and thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people were saved in grand crusades and various other things like that, we saw the blessing and the hand of God upon this nation. We were more secure. Our children weren't killing each other in schools. We weren't worried about the types of terrorism that we have today. We didn't have the level of unwed pregnancies. We didn't have the abortions that we have today. We just didn't have a lot of things that we have going on. Supernaturally, the evidence of God's hand upon this country was more obvious then than it is now. And I believe that our soaring national debt is evidence that God's blessing is not upon this nation. Now, if you say, for what reason? Well, it could be that he is lifting his hand gradually from this nation, and its blessing, his hand upon this nation, is lifting because now he is arranging worldwide events in preparation for the coming of the Antichrist, in preparation for the tribulation, in preparation for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the rebirth of Israel. That could very well be that all nations are weakening as the devil is gaining more power, and that it would happen regardless. Okay? That's one possibility, certainly. But the other possibility is that we have turned our back on God to such an extent that God is just tired of it. Many people take the name of our Lord God in vain. Of course, Hollywood trashes his name continuously. Our country is very proud. We look at our technological advancements and our medical advancements, and we've become very proud about these. Our scientific advancements have proliferated in the schools now, this whole philosophy and theory of evolution. And so, you know, the fact that God created us and created the universe is becoming less and less appreciated by young people today, by scientists today. Many scientists that want to get published in national journals have to espouse the doctrines of evolution before they'll ever be considered by their peers worthy of review and worthy of writing in their publications and in their periodicals, and so forth and so on, and it goes. Our country, the leaning toward these things indicates to me that we are not seeing the level of supernatural blessing in this country that we have in decades gone past, and I believe that our soaring national debt reveals that supernatural trouble, because God said that he would bless, and when he blessed Israel, they would lend and not borrow. And so the fact that we're borrowing, I believe, is one evidence of the trouble we are having in this country supernaturally. God's hand of blessing is being removed. I believe that. All right, the second thing, we looked at Proverbs chapter 22, and in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, the borrower is servant to the lender. Well, our national debt then reveals that we are in trouble supernaturally. And I believe that our national debt reveals that we are in trouble sovereignly. Now, sovereignly is a word. Even though your spell checker on your Microsoft Word may underline it and indicate that you've misspelled a word, if you look that word up, it is a word that means autonomously and independently. And I believe our national debt reveals that we are losing our sovereignty. The borrower is servant to the lender. When you borrow money, the lender gives you terms and conditions that you must meet. And if you fail to meet those terms and conditions, then the lender can exercise his rights to collect the debt by specified means, like foreclosure. In that case, then, the borrower serves the lender. If the lender says you have to insure that property, then whether you wanted to or not, you have to insure it. If the lender says that you have to pay the taxes, or you have to maintain a boundary, or you have to do something to protect that property and keep it in a good collateral valued condition, then you have to do that, whether you would do it or not, because he is the lender and that's his collateral. Likewise, with our country deeply indebted to other nations, we must comply with their conditions. And I believe that our indebtedness has eroded our sovereignty. You know, we comply, I believe, we comply a lot more with the United Nations than we should. I realize in certain military maneuvers, when nations ally themselves with other nations like we did during World War II in order to work together to defeat a common enemy, that's very common. That you see that all through the Bible. You see that all through history. I understand that. And so when nations work together as in an alliance in order to defeat or a common enemy or protect themselves from a common enemy, I understand that. But then when in the United Nations, our nation, which is or had been a sovereign nation, yields its sovereignty to the rule of other nations and nations which are not sovereign in order to get along with them, I believe that erosion has something to do with our national debt. Now, it's not often spoken about. I don't even know that you read about those kind of things. But listen, when other governments own a great portion of our national debt and we must stay fiscally able to repay that debt, then if those countries say, hey, you've got to take care of this, you've got to do this, you've got to ally with that, you need to come over here, you need to protect this, you need to not do that, you need to lighten your stance on Islam or whatever the case may be, then as a borrowing nation, we got to go along with it, okay? If the lenders make those stipulations. And whatever, I believe that the level of our indebtedness has compromised and eroded our sovereignty. That's right. You know, you're weaker as a nation when you owe $18 trillion to other nations and other people and foundations and so forth. You know, if this country were strong fiscally, at some point, you should be able to live off the level of revenue being generated in this country, but we don't. And it's not getting better. It's getting worse. And since then, there are many lenders who look to the assets of this country and the ability of this country to produce revenue in order for them to be repaid, okay, then they're going to start calling some shots. Them that have the gold make the rules, isn't it something like that? They that have the gold make the rules, something like that? Well, okay, the borrower servant to the lender. I believe our national debt reveals that we are in trouble sovereignly, that we are losing our autonomy and our independence and our sovereignty as a nation. Okay? And I'm just simply looking at one problem, national debt, and I believe it just discloses three root problems, a supernatural problem and a problem with our sovereignty. Okay? And one more thing. Our national debt reveals that we are in trouble morally. Look in Psalm 37, and look at verse 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Now, in our debt acceleration program in our country, there is no contemplation of repayment. In other words, if we have bonds that are being issued today, the only repayment program that I've seen for the last 30 years is that we borrow more money to pay off the maturing bonds. We issue more bonds to pay the bonds that are maturing. And all that is, it would be like you, and you have a credit card and you max it out. Let's say your credit limit was $2,500 and you maxed it out, and another credit card company came along and wanted you to get their credit card, and they gave you a credit limit of $5,000, and then they gave you a very low annual percentage rate for debt transfer. Then you use the new credit card to pay off the old credit card, you square with them, transfer the debt to the new credit card company at a low rate of interest, and then run up that credit card company to $5,000. And then another credit card company comes to you and says, you know what? We want you to start using our card, and they offer you a credit limit of $7,500, and then you and a low interest rate for a debt transfer. So you move the debt from the $5,000 credit card, close it out, and now go to the $7,500 credit card. You haven't repaid any debt. No, what you've been doing is borrowing more money to pay off debt you already owed. In our debt acceleration program, there is no contemplation of repayment. We're simply borrowing to pay that we've already borrowed. Now, when you and I borrow money, the creditor, like at a bank to buy a car or something like that, the creditor always evaluates our credit worthiness and then sets up a repayment program. And it says, okay, now next month you're going to owe me $500 or whatever the payment is. Buy a house, have a mortgage payment with interest, with taxes, with insurance, maybe $700, $800, $900, $1,400, whatever the price is, and you got to pay that. That's your repayment program. And that starts next month, okay? It's always that way. Our country doesn't have a repayment program, only a borrowing program. And that tells you something about our country. According to Psalm 37, verse 21, it tells you that our country is wicked. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Now, you don't have to go very far, Romans chapter 1, to see the level of wickedness in this country. When you go to Romans chapter 1, you see a lot of things, okay, about people and about sin and about country. In Romans chapter 1, you see a situation where they knew God in verse 21, but they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. All right, now what happens there is the country goes from godliness to evolution. And then in verse 24, God gives them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts. And they change the truth of God into a lie. So we've had a proliferation of lies about God's truth in the last 100 years. Then God gives them up to vile affections, and homosexuality gets on the rise. Now it's legalized, and now there's marriage. And then they don't like to retain God in their knowledge in verse 28, so God gives them over to a reprobate mind. And it's interesting, we do a lot of personal work here. And I am finding more and more that the mind of people is hardened in this country against God. And when that happens, verses 29, 30, 31, and 32 talk about all the kinds of sin that people can get into. They're filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Have you seen what goes on in college campuses? Wickedness, that's what sells these days. Covetousness, that's what's going on that fuels our economy. Consumer economy, they call it. Covetousness is what the Bible calls it. Maliciousness, if you read the comments that people write on the internet. Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. We've got a rampage of that now. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And you know they have pleasure in them that do them because this is the kind of stuff. All these sins right here, that's the stuff that sells on Hollywood. I believe that we have a moral problem in this country. You know that to be the case. Just look at it. Just take a look. But I believe that that moral problem in our country is evidenced by our national debt. Why? Because the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. When our country loses its morality, its supernatural blessing and protection, and its sovereignty, it has lost its three most important attributes. I believe our national debt is the biblical evidence that our country is in a mess, and that trying to address the problem fiscally without addressing the problem spiritually is not going to solve the problem. I don't believe now, legislatively, economically, judiciously, that our country can solve its problem with national debt without first turning to God and dealing with Him about the spiritual condition of our country. I really believe that. I believe, regardless of the ACLU and all those that oppose God and all those liberal-minded people, somebody in our country needs to go ahead and stand up and say our country is spiritually sick and we must return to God. God can fix all three of these things, our moral problem, our problem with our sovereignty, and our supernatural problem. He can fix all three of these things and get our country out of debt at the same time. But I'll say this, if God doesn't fix the problem, nobody can fix the problem, because this country has a God problem, and I believe our God problem is evidenced by our national debt. I believe those two are related. And I believe they are related because of what you see in Deuteronomy 15:6, because of what you see in Proverbs 22:7, and because of what you see in Psalm 37, verse 12. Excuse me, verse 21. Now, here's what I'm doing. I'm praying. There are a group of pastors, Lord willing, will be in Washington in March of next year. I plan to go. I plan to speak with our representatives and affirm with them that we have a God problem, and that somebody with courage, I pray they are the ones with courage, will take a stand with the Bible, with the Lord God, and say we have compromised our sovereignty, we have compromised our morality, and we have compromised our position with God supernaturally until this country cannot recover itself unless it repents before God Almighty and recovers itself with the Lord. If God peradventure will grant them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth, I pray that he will. Listen, we are commanded in 1 Timothy chapter 2 to pray for all them that are in authority. And listen, please join me in prayer for that. You can listen to all the debates you want to about how to get our country out of the fiscal mess that it's in. And I don't believe you're going to see it get fixed unless we fix it supernaturally, sovereignly, and morally. That's where the root of the problem lies. Pray with me about those matters. Our country desperately needs our prayers. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.